This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our own country of America, which of course claims to follow international law and usually says we should not kill innocent civilians. United Kingdom, that has also signed on to these international treaties during World War II. During World War II, they had to intentionally begin bombing civilian populations. When the tide of war was changing, when Germany was being given the upper hand, both England and America began the intentional, direct, targeted killing of mass civilian populations in Germany. The cities of Cologne, of Hamburg, of Dresden were entirely decimated. Tens of thousands of innocent children and women were intentionally targeted by the Allied forces. If you were to ask them, why are you doing it? They would say, well, they're doing it to us. We have to fight back. They're the ones bombing London. We have to bomb Dresden. They're the ones bombing England. We have to go and bomb Cologne and other places. Wars, sometimes retaliation occurs that is beyond the laws of the land. And again, let us not forget, sisters and brothers, the awkward reality. It is an awkward reality. No justification, but facts are facts. That when the war was shifting, when Germany was seeming to have the upper hand, our country, America, spent the equivalent of over $30 billion on the Manhattan Project. And do you know what the Manhattan Project was? The Manhattan Project was an intentional research and survey to create the deadliest bomb hitherto unknown to mankind. They wanted to create the atomic weapon. And the purpose of that weapon was what? It wasn't to bomb the forces of the Germans. It wasn't to annihilate the soldiers. It was intended to create the largest group of mass civilian casualties that the world had ever seen. Groups of scientists, groups of engineers, groups of physicists, they came together in secret locations for years on end. Billions of dollars were spent, and the explicit purpose, no peace, no cancer research, no nothing. We want to create the most effective bomb to kill whom? Civilians. And what happened? How did World War II come to an end? We all know this reality. Our country, with our taxpaying dollars, used the largest and the most effective and destructive weapons known to mankind, the atomic bomb, and intentionally targeted not the forces of the Germans, not the forces of the Japanese. They intentionally targeted two civilian cities, Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and over a quarter of a million women and children, innocent civilians, were intentionally targeted. The president and his advisor sat in front of a map and they debated the pros and cons of which city should be killed. Which American went to jail for that? Which American ever was court-martialed? Which country ever had to apologize for that? Again, this is not a justification. It is a contextualization. Those who point fingers, those who say, why are you killing innocent civilians, we say back to them, how come you did much worse during your own wars? If you thought you were justified because one of your naval bases was attacked, Pearl Harbor, if you thought you were justified in killing a quarter of a million people, I want that number to sink in, 250,000 innocent people. And you know the worst part? They intentionally chose mid-sized cities. They didn't want too large, they didn't want too small to send the right message, what we can do. The evil nature of wanting to kill 200 and the entire city's wiped out. Excuse me, you have no right to point fingers at another group that might be doing things unethical. I'm not justifying, again for the record, I'm not justifying, but I'm sorry, you have no right to point your fingers at a group that is doing much less than what you yourself have done in response to much worse that was ever done unto you. History, sisters and brothers, makes you powerful. History educates you. And if you know your facts and you know your realities, no one can defeat you in a debate. The purpose, once again, is not to justify, but merely remind us that those people who are most eager to point fingers are usually the most guilty of having done the same crimes. As for me, I have no qualms stating loudly and clearly that the Quran teaches us, the Sunnah teaches us, the Seerah teaches us, that the default is that during times of war, we're supposed to protect the lives of the innocent. But I merely educate, I merely push back and say, How come you are selective in applying these rules, throwing them in our faces, which we acknowledge these are legitimate rules, when you yourselves don't seem to care about the lives of 2 million innocent civilians? Where is your own supposed care? Where is your own alleged concern for the women and children when they belong to another ethnicity and another religious group? Muslims, always remember this reality in this land. You don't need to be a Muslim to sympathize with one side. As I said, if the war was somewhat similar, we could understand the bias of each side. But there is no similarity. The fact of the matter is, every neutral person who examines the reality of the situation will come to the same conclusion. Always quote neutral experts and make sure you know these quotes. One of the greatest icons of our century, somebody whom the globe admires, is Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in isolation. 27 years because he refused to sign a paper that said, because of the color of my skin, I'm not equal to you. 27 years he was in isolation. I visited his cell. It is smaller than the small little box that I'm in. I visited his cell and I stood there. He had a small window for 27 years. That was his outer reality to the world. He refused, as a man of conscience, to say, I am lesser of a human being. And when he was in jail, this country of ours and the United Kingdom and Canada and Australia all consider him a terrorist. You should know this. Our country considered Nelson Mandela to be a terrorist. Only when he was released and the tide of public tide was changed, was he welcomed as a freedom fighter? Was he welcomed as somebody who deserves the Nobel Peace Prize and so on and so forth? Nelson Mandela was an ardent supporter of the Palestinian cause. Multiple times he would speak out and in support of our Palestinian brothers and sisters. And he said, and I quote, that the treatment of the Palestinians is the worst moral crisis of our times. He said this after being in jail 27 years after fighting the apartheid South African regime. He said the Palestinian plight is the worst moral crisis of our own times. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the second most prevalent African freedom fighter. Desmond Tutu is the highest ranking member of the Catholic Church. He's passed away now. Widely celebrated, widely known to be a freedom fighter, also having been in jail, also fought apartheid. Archbishop Desmond Tutu visited Palestine multiple times. In a famous interview in the 80s with the most famous journalist alive at the time, David Frost, you can find it on YouTube. David Frost wanted to complain to Desmond Tutu, how come you can describe Israel as an apartheid state? That's not fair. You shouldn't describe Israel as an apartheid state. It's not that bad. Desmond Tutu responded back to him that actually, listen to this, is on YouTube. Actually, in some aspects, Palestinians are treated worse than us black South Africans were. In some aspects, it is worse than an apartheid state that I have lived through. This is from Desmond Tutu. Are you going to accuse him of being anti-Semite? Are you going to accuse him of being pro-Palestinian because he's Muslim? He's an archbishop of the Catholic Church. He's not a Muslim, but he has lived through apartheid. He's seen the realities of hate, and now he's experienced it firsthand. The grandson of Nelson Mandela also visited Palestine, and he wrote an op-ed, which is published in an Israeli newspaper, the Haaretz, and he wrote an op-ed, and he said that what I have seen here is worse than the apartheid that I have experienced growing up. This is the grandson of Nelson Mandela. It is worse than the apartheid I have experienced growing up. Sisters and brothers, you don't need to be a Muslim to recognize the inhumanity of the situation. Know your people, know your quotes. Our own President Jimmy Carter, he visited those lands, and after he left office, he's still alive now, after he left office, he wrote a book. Do you know what the title of the book is? Peace, Not Apartheid. Peace, Not Apartheid. That is the title of the book. Our president, are you going to accuse him? He's actually a Christian believer. He's actually a supporter of the faith of Christianity. He's a known person who loves his faith and tradition. He's not a Muslim. And yet when he visited, he said, we cannot move forward with this apartheid regime. And he himself acknowledged that Gaza is the largest open-air prison in the world today. The largest open-air prison in the world today. And I can quote you on and on. Human rights, Amnesty International, on and on. But you know what the problem is, sisters and brothers? The awkward reality. Do you know what the root of the problem is? It's not religion. Frankly, it's not even fully political. The brutal and raw fact of the matter is that so many people on our side of the world, in spite of our education, in spite of our achievements, in spite of we're living in such an enlightened era, so many people are still completely and totally wed to the notion of the superiority of their own race over that of other people. The root of the problem, frankly, is a racist outlook on the Palestinians and the Arabs and the Muslims. The root of the problem is the superiority complex that they don't view Palestinian blood and Arab blood and Muslim blood to be equal to their own. And therefore, when they see all that is happening, when they see all of the tactics, their hearts do not stir. There is no emotion because they view themselves and their race and their faith as being more human than that of others. And this is what we see around us when we listen to interviews, when we see the tweets, when we see the endorsements from politicians. Subhanallah, sisters and brothers, you know, when we criticize Israeli policy, when we criticize aspects of what is happening there, we are accused of anti-Semitism. We are accused, oh, you guys are anti-Semitic. I will acknowledge, rarely this criticism is true. I will acknowledge sometimes some clerics and some people use a language that is not appropriate, and they talk about Jewish people altogether. And I say, no, our problem is not with Jewish people. It is not with Christian people. Our problem is with Zionism. In our lands of Islam, Jews and Christians lived peacefully. They lived as neighbors, as full citizens of an equal opportunity with everybody. Our problem is not with people of another faith. Our problem is with policies. So I admit, once in a while, you'll find a cleric, you'll find somebody who uses language that is not correct, and there is an element of anti-Semitism. However, let us flip the script. Let us flip the script. You say we are anti-Semitic when we point out problems with Israel. Let me flip the script. How about your Islamophobia when you caricaturize and paint all Palestinians in a particular light? How about your hatred of Islam when you describe everybody in that region with derogatory terms? Our own president, some of the most powerful people in Congress, some of the most influential politicians, the language they use is the language of genocide. It is the language of dehumanization. Israel's minister called all Palestinians beasts and animals. That is not the language of humanity. That is the language of genocide. You are calling for all-out genocide when you say an entire population is subhuman. If you look at the language that is used, they don't deserve to live. We will annihilate all of them. Again, this isn't the few people that did what you consider a crime. If that was your call, I at least see where you're coming from. But when you extrapolate from 5, 10, 20, 50 people and you say, all 2 million people don't deserve to live. They are not fully equal. When you bring into their fact their faith, when you bring in their religion, and you say they should be given hell, as the pseudo-intellectual Jordan Peterson said. He literally tweeted to Netanyahu, give them hell. Them is who? All Palestinians. We see the reality of their hatred. It's not about truth and justice. It is frankly about a superiority complex. They literally believe they are better than everybody else, and they're therefore, the life of a Palestinian, the life of an Arab, the life of a Muslim in their eyes is not the same as their own lives.